So last time I spoke, oh, just a bit of a recap because we've had such a great couple of, well, powerful time of people speaking into this house. And last week we had Wes and Carolyn. Wasn't that amazing? So good to have the fathers and the mothers of the house for so long coming in and just going in. And they've got a new perspective now. If you get around them and talk to them, they don't see church the same anymore. They've been away from it now. They were kind of in church for so many years, like literally grown up in a system that they called church. And they go, well, this is what church looks like. And then he's been pulled away. They've been pulled out of that into another ministry. And then now in that ministry, he's coming back with fresh eyes going, oh, this is I see it totally different now. And he said to me, and he said to us, he might have said to you too, if I was to do it over again, I would change a lot of things about what we do, because we just have this wrong concept of what church looks like, right? And it is hard because we have a wineskin that we're coming into each time. You know, there's a certain wineskin. But spiritually, we want to evolve, we want to change and move. So that's exciting to have them talk into our house. So I talked about a couple of weeks ago about the walk. Remember, I was doing this in the army. They teach you how to march, which you think is just walking in time, right? How hard can it be? But it's a mess. And so you have people that kind of walk. Some people kind of march like this because they think that's marching, and they put the same foot forward and the same and all that sort of stuff going. It's called goon marching, and you get yelled at in a loving tone from the drill sergeant. And it's hilarious because it just gets worse and worse as it goes down the line, right? Everyone, all the troops are marching. The ones at the front, they're fine. They're left, right, they're doing this stuff. Arm swing way up here. Looks ridiculous. But it looks cool when you get a whole bunch of people marching in unison together. It's amazing getting people doing drill all together. But usually if you've got one or two that are kind of doing a weird marching thing, and then the whole thing starts falling worse and worse. So by the end of the line, it's just a mess. People are tripping up on each other, and it's like, so that's marching. So the walk. We hear often about the walk, you have a walk with Christ. So just to recap, you are walking it out with Christ. If you've decided to receive Christ, it's not, I've decided to receive Christ, everything's perfect, amazing day, let's just live the rest of my life. There is a walk that happens, and it's with him. We walk with him, right? A lot of times we try to walk this out, this is what I think I should do. You know, I saw this YouTube video and this guy said this, and this is what I think I should do. And I read this book and someone else said to me at the church, I should do this. We walk it out with him because he wants life to be done with him, right? So, and Wes said something really cool. That was a great word. He talked, it was basically called out of the locker room into the game, basically. It was like he was talking... Get in the game was that it was called Get in the Game. And he's talking about, like, he works with teams, right? Like basketball teams, and they're in the locker and they're getting pumped up. And he said, that's like Sundays. That's like this. We're in the locker room, the world's out there, which is the real game, but we get pumped up in the locker room, right? Yeah, let's do this. But a lot of people think that the locker room is the game. And it would be imagine if we went to a basketball game, that people are all out waiting, and here's the team, and they're all like getting cheered up, and they're high-fiving, and the coach is up there, and he's going, this is what we want, this is what we're going to do, you're going to defense, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. He's putting a plan together, and everyone's going, yeah. And we all amen, and we're outside. But then it's imagine them just going home at that point, all pumped up, feeling good, didn't even play a game. And so that's like our walk is that game. The rest of the week is our walk in the game. So it sounds very simplistic, but it's actually quite, the gospel is simple. It's a lot more simple than we realize. It doesn't have to be hard. So what I thought we'd do today, and I says growing into fullness as you move. We've got people moving right here that have been moving for a long time, that are stepping out, and they are moving. Now, are they going to be the same when they get back from mission? Fully intact, by the way. 100% healthy. No scars, no blemishes. They're going to come back from that completely changed in a good way, you know? Because they're going to, you can't help it. When you're with God, you're going to change. You just can't, you really haven't got a choice. When you're hanging out with him, you're going to be different. He's going to renew your mind. Sometimes we think we renew our mind. Yes, we're involved in the process, but really he renews our mind. And it starts with your heart. So let's get into it. So I'm just going to go over a little bit of something here, and then we're going to pray at the end. We're just going to make it real quick. I'm going to do my best to be quick here, because I just want to make it real basic, and I'm going to talk about what Jesus came to do, and it's all to do with what we're talking about with the walk. So Jesus came to, so firstly, salvation, your name written in the book for eternity. And often we get caught up, and that's where church stops. Yeah? That's often where church stops, where Christianity stops. I'm saved. Sweet. It's all about salvation. But there's more to it. That's the beginning. That's your entry ticket. You know, that's your uniform for going in the locker room, you know? It's like, now you're part of a team. Now we've got to figure this thing out, right? But you got salvation. Yeah, your name's written for eternity. Jesus also came to reveal the Father. Why did he need to reveal the Father? Well, he had so much fake news for so many years on who God was, and people thought and had an idea of who God was. He was so scary to people that they would either deny him, even though they blame him for all the things that go wrong, and also push him away. So even if they were decided, I believe in you, I'm going to keep you at a distance. So Jesus came to reveal the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So this is an overview stuff here, right? We'll go an overview, just having a perspective of who Jesus is, what we're part of. This is all part of us. He came to fulfill prophecy. I love this. Did I put it up there or not? I might have put it up there. I'm just going to read something out for you. I just started going and kept reading Psalms. And is it here? Yeah, I've got it. Psalm 2. Psalm 2, speaking of fulfilled prophecy, this is just one of those amazing spots. Now, this was written hundreds of years before Christ. This was written way before Christ. Yet this is what it says. This is Psalms 2, the whole of Psalms 2. It's not very long. And so the way I've got it, it's got a little title which helps me for each of these areas. It's got like four areas. First, it's the nation speaking. Then it's God responding. Then it's the Son, Jesus, speaking, and then the Holy Spirit speaks. It's like this. How dare the nations plan a rebellion? Their foolish plots are futile. This is the world now. This is right now in our world. Look at how the power brokers of the world rise up to hold their summit as rulers scheme and confer against each other, against Yahweh and his anointed king, saying, let's come together and break away from the Creator. Is that happening now? Let's break it. We don't need God. We've got this. We've got psychology. You know? We've got science. Nothing against these things, by the way. You can do both. But I'm saying instead of God, instead of welcoming into those areas, let's come together and break away from the Creator. Once and for all, let's cast off these controlling chains of God and His Christ. That's pretty bleak right there, right? But that is literally our world right now. So nothing's changed. That was being said then, right? Then God responds. God enthroned merely laughs at them. The sovereign one mocks their madness. Then with the fierceness of his fiery anger, he settles the issue and terrifies them to death. With these words, this is the bit. I myself have poured out my king on Zion, my holy mountain. We all know that as. No, yep, good. No wrong answers. It's like, oh, Jesus. That's right, Jesus. Like, this is his solution. He has a solution to what we have right now, right? This is a solution to what's happening in the world. I myself have poured out my king on Zion, my holy mountain. He's like, already sorted it. Already sorted it. And this is prophetic. And then Jesus speaks. And this is him saying, I will reveal the eternal purpose of God. This is his love going back towards God. This eternal, this divine dance of the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, all revealed in a psalm, which was written before anyone knew what the Holy Spirit really was about and what Jesus was about. I will reveal the eternal purpose of God. He's worshiping God right now. For he has decreed over me, you are my favored son, and as your father, I have crowned you as my king eternal. Today I became your father. Hear that? Today, Jesus, this is today I became your father, so you can worship me. Ask me to give you the nations, and I will do it. These are powerful words. and they shall become your legacy. 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 We need to think further ahead. Your domain will stretch to the ends of the earth, and you will shepherd them and with unlimited authority, crushing their rebellion as an iron rod smashes jars of clay. Jesus is not mucking around. He is hardcore. He is hardcore. I'm going to love this. This part is of the Holy Spirit speaking and worshiping back toward the Son and towards the Father. Listen to me, all you rebel kings and all you upstart judges of the earth. Learn your lesson while there's still time. Serve and worship the awe-inspiring God. Recognize his greatness and bow before him, trembling with reverence in his presence. Fall face down before him and kiss the Son before his anger is roused against you. Remember that his wrath can be quickly kindled. And then it just gently says, but many blessings are waiting for all who turn aside to hide themselves in him. Isn't that cool? Second psalm. I'm like, oh, what's the psalms about? And I'm hit with that. I'm just like, man, there's fire in psalms, eh? There is fire in psalms. So that was fulfilled prophecy. He came to create a new covenant. We live in that new covenant. We live in that new covenant. But we try to pull old covenants in sometimes, you know, we, lots of aspects of old covenants. We're not Jews. We are here in a totally new covenant. We have a new freedom. However, this covenant holds us to a higher standard than the old covenants ever did. But we get all the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant. We get all the blessings of Abraham. Remember, Jesus would always say, if he found someone who had a lot of faith and who was who understood the power of Jesus, he would go, surely you are a child of Abraham. Do you notice that? You know, he never said a child of Moses, child of, he would specifically call them that because he's letting them know in the future that you will have Abrahamic blessings for you and your family under the and when you're in the coverage of Christ. You will get all those blessings. That's why it's fun to go and read that. You're reading about Abraham. I'm reading about that as well at the moment. I'm just loving going back. And now that I see who I am placed in the Father, now I've got a family heritage I can go and look at because I've been adopted, right? You guys have been adopted, right? You guys are royalty now. Now you're part of this kingdom. It's like, let's go find out about our heritage. You know, we do genealogy tests and we find out, oh, I'm part of the Vikings and oh, I'm go back to the Spanish conquistadors and whatever else used to happen, and we're excited about where we come from. We want to know who we are, but we want to know. So when you know who you are and you know who he is, you want to go back and find out about these things. So we have inherited Abrahamic like favor. If you look at what the favor was given to Abraham and his lineage and his legacy, we are part of his lineage. We're adopted in. That kind of blows my mind, right? It's like, what did I do to deserve it? He goes, just love you. So you're welcomed in, you know? So we created a new covenant. We can go into that, and we want to learn more about that. But he also came to tell us of a kingdom, a new kingdom. He was talking all about what is the kingdom like. This is what the kingdom is like. This is what heaven is like. He is our king. And some people have a problem with authority, but if I have a problem with authority, if it's Jesus, I'll check out his track record. You're in pretty good hands. He's a pretty generous king. Not just pretty generous. He's like, in fact, he serves you. Let's face it, he serves you. He serves us. So I love that he tells us of a new kingdom, which means he's adopted us as royal sons. How cool. He's adopted us into a kingdom. So he came to do some amazing stuff. He did that in 3 years. This is the favor of God. We can do amazing things when we partner with God, when we understand who we are. Al said it today when he said that there's like a commissioning going on, stepping forward. It's a walk, right? We have to put one foot in front of the other and trust that this is real. So this is, I was going to go into some other stuff here. I'll pop through and I want to go through to one other thing. And this is all, oh, and I forgot the seven. Did I not? Yeah, oh, that's right. Establish his kingdom. Sorry, this is important. adopted as royal sons. So we're adopted as royal sons, but we're here to establish what's just happening right now, his kingdom. We have kingdom establishers in our house, people that are going overseas on missions, establishing a kingdom, literally working out the book of Acts. And now that's not everyone's call, like I said. You, heaven's here. You can bring heaven into any aspect. When the worship was going on, it felt like we were in the realm of heaven. And people that receive that, you could tell people were receiving that. And it's kind of confusing sometimes because we don't know how the, you know, our minds are messing with us. And we're like, hey, how do I feel about this? Is this okay? All these things go on, right? However, and some other people are just in the presence of God and there's no question about it, right? Don't be worried if you are one of those people that is struggling with that. I struggle with that for so long and I'm okay with it now. I'm okay with it. Yeah, you prayed for me and I'm okay with it. But your response is a response. You don't force a response. Let him affect you, and the effect of him gives you the response, right? That response can be sitting right where you are. It could be thinking about other stuff. It could be complaining. It could be anything at that moment. Who knows? It could be sitting in the presence of the most beautiful feeling ever. So anyway, that's the response. I'm going to teach too much there. But those seven things, I mean, he came to do more. I know there's more things we could say. But I think that wraps up a lot of amazing stuff. He's establishing. And look at the result of it. We have people being sent by him to go and do his work. So this is something else I thought. I'm just going to wrap up with this. This is from Ephesians. This is one's from the NIV, so it might be a bit easier to follow along if you've got the NIV. And it just struck me because you know how you read passages of the Bible and it just encapsulates everything in a small period of time, just like it did before with the Psalm. It's not like you need to read, like most books, you've got to read it from the start and you don't really know what happens until you're the very end, right? You kind of got to figure it out. Whereas the Bible's not like that. But also you can get frustrated because if you get, all you get is a phrase like that from the Bible, and a lot of people can twist that. We can twist that into whatever context we want to based on how we see God. I'm going to give you this whole section of Ephesians 1, 17 to 23, and we're going to go through it bit by bit and just pull it apart just real quickly, and then that's us. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ. So by the way, this is Paul. Should establish this. Paul is praying for the Ephesians. So Paul went out, planted churches, and he's revisiting these churches. And so for a time, these churches have been left to their own devices. They've been up to no good because they strayed or they've done whatever. And each of the churches has a unique, different showing of how they have been walking out their journey, right? And they go off, when you're learning, you go off track, you make mistakes. So he is correcting the churches. But what he does, he comes in right at the beginning and he starts to pray for them. This is the power of prayer. We pray for what we want to see and we pray for that power and that impartation that you're going to get it. Not necessarily teaching and correction all the time. The correction comes from actually letting you know who you really are. So let's go through this. I keep asking that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give. May give. He's already establishing who Jesus Christ is and who the glorious Father is. He's setting it up right at the start. I think there's a little bit of lines. Is that projector not quite fitting it all in there? Maybe I stuffed it up. Hang on, it is missing a lot of stuff. Hang on, I'll have it here as well. It might be a different version though. No, that's not going to help. Oh, that's annoying. What I'll do, I'll flick forward. Sorry guys, what I was doing is going through and just line by line going through this and just pointing out some stuff. I'll go back. Sorry guys, this will be quicker anyway. Did I put it in? Actually, I'll go back to here. That's cool. Thank you. Actually, I've got this one. I'll go from here. So, sorry, Brent, thank you. You take that if you want. So I'll go back through it again. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him. So let's go back through that. I pray for the Father of glory that the God, our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom. The spirit of wisdom is what? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. He's asking that they have the Holy Spirit. And that the spirit of revelation, which is what the Holy Spirit does, it gives you these revelations, to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. It's worded differently in everything, but it basically this, he wants you to have an intimate relationship with him. And that's where the beauty flows from, right? And it's wrapped up already in there. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination. So he's asking us to dream. He's asking us to see how he sees. He wants us to see from a godly perspective, to lift our vision. And this, I believe, is the season we're going to be moving into. I believe we're moving from a season that was past to a new season where knowing who our identity is and who he is, we now step out as those sons of a royal lineage with authority and power. So we're basically unlocking everything that the Bible says is on offer and that Jesus gave us. So you'll illuminate the eyes of your imagination. It's imagination. Imagination means we dream. We get to create. Flooding you with light. Flooding you with light. Until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. The full revelation of the hope he was calling. Not, I hope you're a little bit better. No. He wants us to be in our full revelation. Now, the hope aspect, the hope of his calling. Hope isn't, I hope you're going to be okay, or I hope you're going to be better. Hope is, no, you have hope. You have the hope. Like, you're like, I'm excited. I expect these things. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances. See, it's all set out here. This is not, I pray that you'll come to Christ and just quietly go about your business and then die. I don't know, because I feel that sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, I'm okay, Jack. I'm all right. And you just have this blah life. He doesn't want you to have a blah life. He wants you to have an exciting life, yeah? We're moving into this, guys. And you might not know what that is. That's okay. It doesn't matter at this stage. It's what it is encouraging to be with him so you can find out. And he changes you. It's renewing of the mind. The wealth of the glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. He calls us his holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. He's saying that you've got immeasurable greatness. You have power, a massive amount of power and authority. And all we need is faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power. Advertisement. I know it's worded a different way. This is the Passion Translation. So I love it because it speaks to my heart when I read it. It doesn't have to speak to everyone's heart. But honestly, it's just as powerful regardless of what version you read of this. It's the same. I've read a bunch of versions just to see if this is just not someone getting light and fluffy. No, this is heavy. This is heavy and it's good in every version you've got. So if we're an advertisement, it better be a good advertisement, you know what I mean? Like, we want to be a good advertisement, you know? We want to look, we don't want to just be constantly in a stage where we're kind of just stuck in our muck. We want God to pull us out of these things, but we want to partner with him and pull us out of those things. Yes, there's going to be times where we need prayer and we need things and there's things going on because life is life. We don't get out of doing life like anybody else. It's like we still got to walk this out. Like if you want to lose weight, you still have to watch your diet and go to the gym. You know, it's not like we become Christians and we just believe and then we look shredded and buffed or whatever it is, right? I've tried it. Didn't work. So then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power. So displaying power. Now, this is the bit that scares me, because this, if this is a house of miracles, that means there's going to have to be miracles. Otherwise, it's false advertising, right? So, it's right. And I'm scared, because I've seen miracles, but I've not seen the miracles that people, you know, growing back limbs and raising from the dead. And I've not seen that with my own eyes. I've seen videos of stuff. I've seen people talking about these things. But this is the demonstration of the power. If we have how would this world look if all Christians demonstrated the power that Jesus demonstrated, let alone what Moses did? They always called Moses the great miracle worker, didn't they? Because he had way more amazing miracles than Jesus did. You know, parting seas and things like that. Jesus was healing people and raising the dead, but Moses was doing all sorts of crazy stuff. He was right out the gate, wasn't he? But Jesus came to say he will do the same as me and better, right? You will do the same as me and more. So if we are demonstrating their power of being a believer, and I'm just as guilty of this, that would be so attractive to the world. Imagine a whole line of people out there with COVID vaccine injuries going like, no one can heal me. And they're just lining up and they're going, healed, 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 healed. And they're out there going, and you should go to this church. So you will get 100% healed. Like, you know, and people would see them before and injured and stuff, and then they would see them afterwards and they're like, hey man, I'm done. Like, this is what we're talking about. I'm going to preach too much if I'm not careful, sorry. I'm excited. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to the place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. Real preachy sounding now. Isn't it awesome? That's on offer. That is on offer. It's on offer to us. And I just pray that we just move into a time where we actually are able to just maybe trust him a little bit more and open up our, just build a bit more belief and faith that we can maybe do that and maybe step out and look a bit awkward and go and pray for someone or pray for something that we, do you know what I mean? Or step out and go, I'm going to build that business. I love that this kingdom businesses are being built over in Laos. How cool is that? Like, this is literally, so good. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler. Amen. Authority, government, and realm of power and existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. And he alone is the leader and source of everything needed in the church. See, he cares about the church. But that means that's on offer for all of us. God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ and has given him the highest rank above all others. And now we, you, his church, are his body on earth. Amen. And that which fills him who is being filled by it. Now I'm just going to quickly read through this, but now I'm going to pray for you because this was directed towards the Ephesians. But as I read through this, this is just is relevant for you right now. So I'm going to leave on this. If I could just get the worship team to come up and do some stuff, just amazing, anointed stuff, if that's all right. Just be as anointed as possible. Just grab your anointing, put the anointing app on. Right, so just imagine, this is imagine Paul is here right now, and Paul is praying to you. And now, we all know that God listens to Paul, right? God listens to Paul. You may go, oh, he doesn't listen to my prayers. No, he's listening to everything. But just imagine Paul is right here, and he's going to pray this on over you right now. And your job right now is just to hear it and receive it, okay? Just to receive it. You can close your eyes. You can keep them open. Do whatever you want. I want you to receive what he is saying right here, because what he is saying is the truth, and it is fire. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation to know him through your deepening intimacy with him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination, flooding you with light, until you experience the full revelation of the hope of his calling. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that he finds in us, his holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted him to a place of highest honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. And now he is exalted as first above every ruler, every authority, every government, every realm of power and existence. He is gloriously enthroned over every name that is ever praised, not only in this age, but in the age that is coming. And he alone is the leader and the source of everything needed in the church. God has put everything beneath the authority of Jesus Christ, has given him the highest rank above all others, and now with his church are his body on the earth, and that which fills him who is being filled by it. In Jesus' name, we accept that from you. Amen.